The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I pledge allegiance to you, the listener. I am overwhelmed. What do you think?
Absolutely. A little bit teary-eyed, actually.
I can't believe the response that we've gotten to this contest. Welcome to the show, the Forcecast for September. September. We've got a new month, folks. This is the 13th month. My goodness. How about February 23rd, 2007. We are the official podcast, and happily so, of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. And we are very proud to be your weekly dose of Star Wars. And yes, the galaxy is listening. You like how I get all of our slogans in one intro there?
You've got them down.
Except for the September part.
well, we can make that our next contest. Name the new month. September.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Official Picks. They are the ones that make this show possible. And you can check them out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. You look no further than those good folks over there for any Star Wars autograph and photograph needs, including Celebration 4. They are the official autograph vendor for C4. And right now, if you sign up for updates, and why wouldn't you, with all the news that has been breaking recently about the celebrities that will be coming to Celebration 4, if you sign up for the updates over at the Official Picks website, you could get yourself a free autograph from Sam Jackson on a Mace Windu picture, which is pretty cool.
Not bad for getting email updates.
Not bad at all. So also, if you want or are interested, and you're going to be at C4 anyway, and you'd like to volunteer to work the celebration or the Official Picks booth and get some free stuff for your time, it's pretty cool the way they have it set up. I mean, if you work, you know, it depends on how many shifts you work or how many hours you work. And the more you work, obviously, the more free stuff you get. So they try to make it very much worth your while. And I highly recommend it. Like you pointed out, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You could be sitting at a table with Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
Or
may have to grab a stick to beat off all the other people that are coming at him, smack him away, keep the fans at bay.
From tearing his clothes off.
Official security.
Actually, you know what?
I should sign the restraining orders I get.
Right. But, you know, we used Billy Dee as an example. That's probably not the best example because he's not confirmed.
Well, true.
And we do have some confirmations, and we'll get to those in a little bit. But at any rate, just a few things here at the top of the show we wanted to bring your attention to. Now, I am not a parent yet, and neither are you.
No.
But I know we've got a lot of friends around here that have children. And, I mean, Dan Curto and Dustin and Jay, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about these. If you check it out over at RebelScum.com, we'll have the link on our show notes. The story is proving it's never too early to start training your own little Jedi Knight. The First Years has released a number of infant mealtime sets. So basically what this is, it's, you know, the Tommy Tippy cups, you know, the suck cups, or see, I don't even know what they call them. I mean, it took me forever to learn what a binky is. All these parents running around, where's the binky? I don't know what it is. But anyway, these cups, and they've got they're Star Wars, of course.
Yes.
Well, we wouldn't be talking about them. And this one in particular that we've got pictured up at Rebel Scum has kind of these, well, they kind of look like the Galactic Heroes, actually. The art that you see on the Galactic Heroes, very similar to that Yoda and Darth Vader. So you have, but see, what's kind of disturbing about this is that you've got like the light side and the dark side. And you know, if your kid's drinking out of a tippy cup and you already have identified him as needing a dark side Darth Vader cup, you've got problems. You've got problems.
Well, the only thing I could think of is no matter what is the logo on the cup, it's not going to make you any happier when your one-year-old is hurling it across the room with Cheerios flying all over the ground because they just had a fit. So
spoken like a couple guys with no kids.
that's right. But I have nieces. I've been around young children.
That's true.
I know the frustration of going, really? Really, I just made all that food and you're going to throw it on the floor. And oh, and it's funny. It's funny. Okay, great.
well, hopefully these cups might make mealtime a little bit cleaner, neater. But at any rate, how young is too young? Start them at birth.
That's right. Newborns.
Smack them on the butt.
It's like what they
sit
do around
down in front of
the
TV.
Around us, football's so big that they give them the footballs to put in their crib at a certain hospital. We're going to start sticking little.
Are they doing that
at Maslin? Of course. They
really?
Do. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh no! They all the boys get footballs and all the girls get pom poms. How's that for a stereotype for you?
Well, we are the Hall of Fame city.
That's right.
Oh my! You know what galls me? Here's my little editorial. I'm tired of the stereotype of the jock, you know, always kind of coming down on the geek. I tell you what, these sportos out there, they are just as obsessed, if not more so, with their sports as we are about our Star Wars.
Absolutely. I dabble in both, so.
You do. You go both ways. You know me, I'm not much into sports. Nothing against people that are into sports. Anyway, you know, we are not the only unauthorized Lucasfilm proponents around, I guess you'd say. There's a new magazine that's going to be started. This is pretty cool. I've seen a number of these magazine startups like this where basically you're going to get it from the web, and it's a PDF. And there's a new magazine, sort of an unofficial Star Wars fanzine out there that's going to be debuting soon. It's called Star Wars Outsider, which I think is actually a pretty clever name. And it's started by a whole bunch of folks. Let's see. We've got some names here. We've got Arthur Papadam, a.k.a. Arf Maul. And also, let's see, Kyle Hartshorn, also known as Rogue Follower. Billy Bueller, also known as The Second Quest. Tim Vikoven, also known as, what is that? Sampidele?
Yeah.
Tracy Duncan, also known as Dark Spork, or also known as Dunk. And last but not least, Bob Vitus. So, now Bob is the creator of the TFN. Obviously, it's on our theforce.net can be found there, the completely unofficial Star Wars encyclopedia. But anyway, no exact date on when this is going to debut, but it is going to be a fan-based magazine. It'll be in PDF form, and it'll be available for on the net. It sounds like it's going to be free. I see no, you know, nothing indicates that they're going to be charging any money for this. So another great example of kind of the fans taking things into their own hands. And, you know, as Tim Zahn said on the microcast earlier this week, playing in the sandbox, so to speak, of George Lucas and the folks at Lucasfilm. And it's cool that we're allowed to do that. And so we welcome the folks of the Star Wars Outsider into the family of unauthorized Star Wars content. And speaking of the cantina, coming up in this show, we'll have some highlights of our interview that we had with Charlie. Well, he told us we could call him Charlie, kind of like Tim, you know,
yeah.
Our buddy Tim's
yeah,
on.
We're all
TZ,
buddies,
as I call him. You know, we're on a yeah. Anyway, Charlie Ross, the one man Star Wars trilogy, is going to be in the cantina. He'll be joining us, and you and I are going to be checking out his show this weekend.
This weekend, I'm excited.
Finally, something decent comes to our town.
Our neck of the woods.
Right. We don't even have to go to Cleveland to see it.
No.
Akron. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'd mentioned just a second ago about Timothy Zahn, and we had also mentioned about the allegiance, pledging allegiance. And, again, the response, if maybe you hadn't listened to last week's show, but basically, we were lucky enough to get a hold of, thanks to Dustin Roberts, we were lucky to get a hold of a couple of autographed editions of Tim Zahn's latest novel, Star Wars Allegiance. And we wanted to give these away, and we wanted to do it in the most fair way possible. So that means calling us up and kissing our butts and pledging allegiance to this show and how much you love it. And hey, we did it in jest, thinking, you know, we'd get a couple. Well, we got a lot more than a couple, and we just got through them tonight. And so I think what we're going to do, we're going to play an example, one of the finest examples. And this is not the winner. We're not naming any winners, because what I think we're going to do is hold off for another week, because the response to this has been really overwhelming, and we're still getting entries in. So if you haven't had a chance to Skype us at username Forcecast or give us a call at 330-8714-TFN, go ahead and do so. And just to give you an idea of what we're looking for, here you go.
Hey, Jason and Pete. It's John from Connecticut. I'm calling in to submit my Pledge of Allegiance to the Forcecast. So here we go. I pledge allegiance to the Forcecast, brought to me by TFN and Rebel Scum, and to the pegs for which Pete rants. One Vader, another freaking Vader? Why Darth Vader? With more news and bad impressions for all. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, John. And thank you for allowing us to use this as the example. Now, John may win. He may win one of them.
He may win.
But I thought, there are a lot of good ones. It was hard to pick. But John's was short and sweet. And I don't know, just kind of what we were looking for.
Yes. And obviously, you can tell a dedicated listener.
Exactly.
So, and for those of you out there who have submitted a voicemail, if you haven't emailed us to make sure that we have it, please do that so we make sure that we do have your email and that we know you've entered the contest. So just so we have a way of notifying the winners and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Skype is one of those things that's really, really great, but it also has some drawbacks. I mean, I think technically it's still in beta, at least the version that I'm using. And so occasionally, you know, it'll say we have a voicemail there and it'll show a clock, you know, a minute and a half voicemail or whatever. We'll go to play it and there's nothing. So if you have entered the contest, just send us a quick email at podcast@theforce.net. Say, hey, here was my allegiance pledge. And maybe you don't have to write out the whole thing, but just give us an idea of what you had mentioned so we can match it up. And make sure you have your address. We need your snail mail address so that we can, if you do win, we can get you your prize. So we got a couple autographed copies of Timothy Zahn's Allegiance, and we want to give them away. So if you didn't listen to last week's show, what we're asking folks to do is just give us a call on our Skype line and pledge allegiance to the Forcecast, and we're going to pick the best two pledges and give away the books. So thank you to everybody, again, that's already entered. You've had a lot of really nice comments to go along with them. And, you know, some of the inside jokes that you've included in these pledges show us that you like us. You really like us. And we appreciate that very much. All right. It's that time again. The road to celebration, it just keeps getting closer and closer and closer, and I keep getting more excited. Nothing like getting all those pledges to kind of, you know, get you psyched up for meeting all of these folks.
That's right.
So, Pete, tell us, how many weeks?
We are at 14 weeks, and yes, Jay Shepherd, that is an even number. And we are, of course, doling out tips for your Celebration 4 experience. And this week, we had a request for some transportation advice. Now, I can throw out there that, you know, we have all those websites, Travelocity and Orbitz and all those ones.
Expedia
that all check the rates for you. Well, get on the website, go on those ones, see what airlines are flying from where you want to go to where you want to go, and then check the direct flight website. Because you're usually going to get a better price direct from the website if you're just buying a flight from the airline as opposed to one of those special websites. Now, if you're getting a package deal where you're going to try and get flight and car and hotel and all that kind of stuff, those are definitely places you should check out. So find your match, do a little surfing, find out what you're going to do. Now, once you get there, you ask me, how do you get from the airport to the hotel? Well, of course, they have cabs, and that's probably the easiest way to go, the most convenient.
But not necessarily the cheapest.
Well, not necessarily the cheapest. However, they do have a metro service that goes from the airport to right around the hotels, including a train service and also the bus service, which is only $3 to go right from the airport to most of the hotels right around the area. But make sure you check with the hotel that you're going into first, because most of the time they have shuttles that go directly to the airport several times a day anyway. So make sure you just check all your options, because there's a lot of them out there, and you can definitely find a place to get you to and from the airport, and more importantly, to C4.
Well said, my friend. So there you go. 14 weeks to go. Now, we do have some celebration for news. This week, it was announced officially by Official Picks. They were announcing that Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia, will be part of this first round of announcements for Celebration 4. So Carrie's going to be joined by a lot of fan favorites and, according to them, some first-time Celebration signers. Here's what we got so far. Carrie Fisher, Kenny Baker, R2-D2, Lightning Bear, Scout Trooper, and Stormtrooper, Paul Blake, Greedo, Richard Bonehill, Snowtrooper, and a Stormtrooper, Michael Carter. I am really excited about Michael Carter. Hey, Jabba Wonka. Bib Fortuna.
Serve your master well.
Hey, Jabba Lakota.
And you will be rewarded.
This pod impression was about you buying a little bit. Mike Edmonds, Low Gray, and an Ugnaught. Garrick Hogan, Biggs Darklighter. Gerald Holm, Tessic, and Amon Calamari Officer. Richard Le...
I think he might be French.
Le Parmentier. It's been a long day, folks. Le Parmentier, also known as Admiral Mahdi, and of course David Prowse, is Darth Vader. We announced that a couple weeks ago. Actually, Dave Prowse was the first one that was really confirmed.
First confirmation.
And Tim Rose, Admiral Akbar.
It's a trap!
There you are. Your Celebration 4 celebrity announcements. Also, it was just announced that there's going to be a whole slew, a whole slate of collecting forums and panels to help you get a handle on your collection. Some of the panels include hilarious Star Wars items. Duncan Jenkins is going to be handling that. They got to have the C-3PO tape dispenser.
That may cross the line of hilarious to lewd.
I was going
to
say maybe inappropriate Star Wars items. That's the forum I want to see. But anyway, that ought to be a big hit. I mean, with all the amount of merchandise that's been out, they can't all be hits, Roger.
That's right.
So that ought to be a good one. Vintage bootleg toys. Oh, you can't do any better than bootleg toys. I mean, actually, some of those fit in the hilarious Star Wars items category. Kenner's Micro Collection. Oh, I was such a big fan of that, and still am. So that ought to be pretty cool. Some never-before-photographed prototypes that are going to be on display there. Mike Mensinger and James Gallo are going to be handling that. I should have mentioned that the Vintage Bootleg Toys is going to be taken care of by John Alvarez, Ron Salvatore, and Joseph Iglesias. Any relation?
I doubt it.
I think the spelling's different. Star Wars Collecting Clubs, Bill Cable, Deanna Bach, and some other folks that have yet to be named are going to be handling that. The Women's Collecting Panel. It's going to be hosted by Marjorie Carvalho, Deanna Bach. Deanna's just everywhere. Amy Soberg, Kathy Kendrick, Lauren Kebeli, Helen Howerton, Josephina. There's a question mark right in the middle of her name. Now, if you don't know how to spell it, how am I going to know how to say it? So we're going to just say Josephina and Ann Newman. Another forum on animation collecting. That's pretty cool. You know, whether it was, it says here, whether it was Boba Fett's first appearance, the stories of Thal Jobin, or, of course, the Star Wars animated series, droids, Ewoks. Maybe they'll have something from the new show. Who knows? That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, Shane Turgeon is going to be handling that one. Oh, and our own Dustin Roberts, is along with Chris Nichols, Bill Cable, And Mattias Rendahl is going to be handling the character collecting for him.
I wonder what character he's going to be talking about.
I just wonder. And then Ron Salvatore is going to be handling recycled toys. Now, this is interesting. It's 1991. You wander into Toys R Us, and there it is. The Sherwood Forest playset from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Pretty cool, except it looks like your old Ewok village. And come to think of it, why does the Friar Tuck figure look like a Gamorrean guard? I remember that toy line.
Yes.
Anyway, just more reasons why you need to be at C4. 14 weeks to go, and we will be counting down all the way on the road to celebration.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sandtrooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sandtrooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Oh, hot on the heels of last week's show where we... We're kind of breaking the news of all that's entailed, at least the sketchy initial details of all that's entailed in the Force Unleashed. Now, this is the new multimedia extravaganza of 2007 that's built around this next-gen video game. And as with anything, any major news in the Star Wars universe of fandom, it hasn't... Well, let's say it hasn't been without some criticism. Oh, they just can't win, these guys.
That's right.
But there was a great article over at in Game Informer magazine, actually a cover story that they did on this, and some new details. But probably the biggest story out of this is the controversy over, you know, it's the game's availability on multiple platforms. You know, clearly the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 are going to have the version that is really being promoted, and that's with, you know, some of the new technology that makes it a possible euphoria in this digital molecular matter components. But also, there's going to be some portable versions of the game that are going to be available on the PSP and the DS. Now, the controversy lies in the fact that, of course, this Christmas, not only was the PS3 a pretty popular seller in terms of kind of creating a lot of, I don't know, hubbub. I think it's the they were just short shipped. You know, they just didn't make enough of these things.
Well, that's my all part of the buzz machine was just to make people feel like, oh, I've got to get out and get one of these.
Well, and I almost feel... I don't feel right about saying that the PS3 was this really exclusive and hard to find console, because they just, I mean, you look at the numbers and you compare it to the Wii, it's just a drop in the bucket
right.
In terms of production. And so of course it's going to be, and they're having kind of their own little controversy, but at any rate, not to get off on too much of a tangent. Really, the controversy lies here, as far as this game is concerned, is why isn't there an announcement of it being on the PC, and why isn't it going to be released on the Wii? And, you know, most people kind of reacting the same way, look at what the Wii has been able to achieve in terms of kind of having that with the different controllers and actually being able to wield a lightsaber with the new controller. And basically, LucasArts has said, hey, this is out for next-gen platforms, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and yes, there will be some version that's going to be available on some of the other systems. I believe Chrome Studios is going to be making a version for the PSP and the PlayStation 2. And then Nspace is going to be handling the DS version. So, you know, as far as the Wii goes, I don't think they're really ruling it out completely. He says, but, you know, even if that does happen, it probably won't be, quote, the lightsaber game that gamers have been eagerly awaiting for. So probably doesn't really make much difference in terms of the expectations of Wii fans. That, you know, even if this thing does get released, it's not going to be what people are hoping for. And as far as the PC goes, there is a petition. We'll have the link on our show notes. If you're really into this and you want to make sure that the folks at LucasArts hear you, that you want this game released on the PC, go ahead and sign up. And, you know, the petition thing has worked.
It has worked in the past.
The original trilogy being a great example. Now, there's debate about whether that really was a good thing or whether that really worked, but nonetheless, I mean, the Lucasfilm does listen, and they do listen to the fans. I mean, how many folks have we had in the cantina that are a part of the official family at Lucasfilm, and they've all said, you know, we're on the forums, mm-hmm. and we're listening to the podcast, and we're, you know, so I would imagine that if you create enough of a stir, this could happen. But the other, you know, thing is that these games take forever to develop, and mm-hmm. so if they were just never planning on a PC version, you know, maybe sometime before we get one. So I really don't know what the answer is,
and we don't know what translates as far as in between the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and a PC.
Right.
Normally, you would think a PC can do pretty much anything that one of those game systems can do. However, they are game systems, so some of those things may be very specific. Eventually, we'll find out. Eventually, we may get it. But at this point, you know, you're probably going to have one of those two to get the total next-gen feel of this game.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of look at it. I mean, I'm sitting here without a next-gen system. I don't have a PS3, and I don't have an Xbox 360. This game may kind of twist my arm to get one of these, because I'm not going to be, I mean, I have a DS, but I'm not going to be satisfied playing a game like this on the DS.
No, it's just, no. And it's not going to do it justice. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's going to be a great version. I'm sure they're going to do it to the nines, but if you've seen the next gen systems, you know that it is exactly that. It is next gen, and there's a lot to the detail that can be pulled out of it. And
well, and they're reporting that this is going to be a game like you've never played before.
Yeah.
So, and you know,
I have to believe
it's a pretty bold claim. I mean, but
they've come through like that in the past, so I've got to believe them.
Yeah, they have. And if, you know, but at any rate, if that full article can be found in Game Informer magazine, so if you can check that out on newsstands. There's also a really good kind of summary of the article available at rebelscum.com.
By our very own Jay Shepard.
That's right. I wasn't going to give him credit for that.
I like to give him credit wherever I can. The guy does a lot for me.
No, Jay's a great guy. And we want to thank him for putting that great summary together. Speaking of great guys, the maker himself, George Lucas, is being profiled in another magazine, not Game Informer, but the USC Trojan Family Magazine. Of course, George is an alum of University of Southern California, the School of Cinnamon. It's a rough day, man.
It's gonna be a long night for us.
It is. The School of Cinema Television. And, of course, you know, he donated $175 million. So the least they could do is give him a little article
hey, we're going to profile
in the school mag.
Yeah.
Right. In case anybody doesn't know who you are. But actually, it's kind of a cool picture of some of these students standing around him. And, you know, they're kind of giddy and giggling. And then there's this one guy. Do you see the one dude? that's kind of off to George's left. He's just kind of like, you're George Lucas.
Kind of like the kid from Christmas Story that turns around and goes, I like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Right. He's like, I love Star Wars.
That's great.
Oh. I'm going to apologize in advance in case the guy that's in this photo is listening to this show. And he just might be.
That's right.
Oh, but anyway, there's I like this quote that George gives. He says, this is, I believe, quoting from the magazine. He says, being an alumnus of the program, I am tempted to wax nostalgic about my alma mater. The experience transformed me emotionally and intellectually. My filmic understanding went from catching general releases in Modesto State Theater to discovering Truffaut, Goddard, Fellini, and the underground filmmakers of San Francisco. My circle of friends expanded from people who shared a love of building cars, those who had a passion for moving image and sound. USC literally opened the door to some of my deepest personal and professional relationships, from Francis Coppola to John Milius to the guy who did that thing with the big white fish, Steven Spielberg. But nostalgia alone doesn't cut it. Increasing one's knowledge and opening up to new partnerships are things students should expect of any good college or university experience. I think what struck me about this quote is, in a way, it's kind of the way a lot of folks feel about the Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you listen to somebody like Kyle Newman, who talks about how that made all the difference in his life in terms of deciding what he wanted to do. And it seems like USC was George's Star Wars, in a sense. I mean, that's what really, I mean, clearly that's where he was trained. But it's just amazing that these films have not only been able to inspire people, but educate people as well about the process of filmmaking, because George is so outspoken about the process that by being a fan, you can't help but read about how these films are being made. And so I just thought that was kind of neat. Also, we had reported last week that George was given a special award at Toy Fair, but also he was officially inducted into the Rebel Legion. So congratulations to George. Now, George has also been inducted into the 501st, but, you know, they're saying, look, George is the original Rebel, so he needs to be in the Rebel Legion. So congratulations to that. So it's pretty neat. There's some great photos that you can see on the hyperspace side of StarWars.com of the event, and George hanging out with some of the fans and some of the members of the 501st and the Rebel Legion. Well, we had also reported that there's going to be more Uggs coming from Hasbro.
Ugh.
But this time around, there's not going to be a Stormtrooper armor-clad George Lucas to redeem your stolen entry forms for. What you're going to have is, of course, you know, with the 30th anniversary collection, there's going to be a unique coin to every figure, but there's going to be a special Toy Fair exclusive coin that was available at Toy Fair, but is also going to be available as part of this UGG mail-in order campaign promotion, I think, that's probably going to be sometime in the spring, if it's any indicator as to, you know, the way they did it last year. But at any rate, our own Dan Curto has some great photos posted of this coin. He was actually at Toy Fair and was able to pick one of these up. And it's a nice coin. I like it. It's got, you know, the year 1977, 2007, and it's got the iconic image of Luke hoisting the lightsaber overhead. And it's kind of got the 30th anniversary Well, I guess this would be the official 30th anniversary logo, isn't it? All right.
I was like, I've heard this
catch
before
up
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I remember us describing the official 30th anniversary logo.
Quite some time ago, in fact.
They can't all be hits, Roger. Someday I'll explain where that quote's from, and I'll give $500 to anybody who can, I mean it. No, I shouldn't say that. Our audience is just too good.
I know it. I'll take $500.
What that reference is from? They can't all be hits, Roger. Anyway.
I do know. Only because I know
Roger, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. The Roger is Roger Ebert that the quote is referring to. Anyway, the coin. Back to the coin. So it comes in this nice little box. And, you know, it's nice, but I would much prefer an exclusive figure.
Yeah, I think I was hoping for that. But while you were talking about it and you made the joke about your stolen redemption cards, this is probably a pretty nice compromise on that. It's a really nice collectible to have, but it's not enough to make people steal things out of the figures in order to redeem them and sell them on eBay. And
that's
just all the crazy stuff that happened surrounding that, which was just absolutely. And you know, we live in a town that's not huge. I mean, it's
not a big market.
It's not a big market. And I firsthand witnessed that, you know, these had been destroyed. And I thought, who are these people?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're really going to make, you know, $20 on eBay and you're willing to steal for
that? And that George Lucas figure is not rare.
No.
And so, I mean, I haven't checked eBay lately. I don't know what it's going for. I mean, it's in my collection. It's priceless to me because it's, you know, I'm trying to get one of every figure. So, I mean, it means a lot to me. But that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that.
But if
the idea was to lower the demand by making it something more... or just more collector driven than just kind of general, hey, isn't this cool?
Figure. Yeah.
Yeah. It very well could be part of the strategery there, but, it still underwhelmed me
a little bit, but I think, you know, that again, I think it's somewhat of a compromise probably. And, you know, maybe we'll find out one day that that's what it was, but
I hope that that's not true. And because it would mean that the bad guys are winning.
Well,
you know, that they're screwing me out of a new figure.
But then we will conquer the universe with something else.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, moving on here. More collecting news. There is a new Lego Maquette that is available for pre-order right now. This is the third in this line, joining the ranks of Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper, if my memory serves.
It does.
This is Boba Fett. Now, here's the catch. It's a leap of faith, folks, because when you order this thing, all right, there are prototypes and then there are prototypes.
This is about as raw as you can get.
Yeah, this is like out of one of Ralph McQuarrie's nightmares. It's hard to explain. I mean, we were joking earlier. We're like, why don't they just like have a piece of clay sitting there, you know?
Call it Spaceman.
Right. It's barely moved beyond that point. Actually, it does look like sort of the generic Lego Spaceman that you would get. But it's a very rough idea of what he's going to look like. You can get an idea of the pose, and he's holding his blaster.
It will require a leap of faith.
Yes. I mean, only Star Wars fans, only we would see that and say, pre-order that sucker right now.
Hey, I'm throwing down 65 bones for that.
It kind of makes me wonder, like, would they even had to have put that picture up?
Right.
They just said, there's a Boba Fett Lego Maquette coming. It's up for pre-order right now.
And maybe
what do you think?
It's an experiment. Like, let's see if we can get them to buy this one.
Right, right, right. Oh, we're being joined by my dog.
It's good to see you again, Noah.
My dog is making a rare appearance on the Forcecast, folks. Well, we've got we got a lot of news in collecting. Pete, tell us about these comic packs.
Well, obviously, everybody is familiar with the Expanded Universe comic packs that are coming out from Hasbro this year. And we've already had some, the first wave of the Marvel set hitting stores. And we've seen previews of the next wave that includes a lot more Dark Horse. But we do have confirmation not really confirmation, but we have a rumor circulating out there of what the remaining packs are going to be and who the characters are that are going to be included in those. So the ones we've heard of, are kind of already out there. Luke, Stormtrooper, R2-D2, we've talked about Quinlan Vos and Vilmar Grack, and Daryl DePriest had said on the show, released on our Christmas special, Baltar Swan and Kofi Arana. So we've got those ones. But then here are a couple of the ones that have been added. There's an Anakin and a Trade Federation droid. Not sure where that one's coming from, but could be one. Ashrid Het we knew was going to be out. And I thought it was going to be with Anakin. No, not so. The Dark Woman, who is another Jedi character in the Clone Wars era, will be included in that pack. Then we've got Jedi Leia versus Darth Vader. Not real sure about what this one's coming from. Think maybe it might be out of the Dark Empire, Dark Empire 2, probably, maybe, or it could possibly be an Infinities. Since in, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody, so spoiler alert, but if you haven't read the Infinities, in some of the Infinity stories, Leia is actually the one that becomes the Jedi as opposed to Luke. So there you go on that. So could be that. I don't know what it's going to be, but I anticipate it being something fairly cool. And Jedi Leia is always going to be
a cool
figure.
Well, we already saw a Jedi Leia figure in the very first Expanded Universe line.
Right.
That was very short-lived because the prequels came out. So, and I always thought that was kind of a cool figure. Mm-hmm. So this ought to be pretty exciting.
Right. And then, of course, we've got Lieutenant Junlin and Lieutenant Shaan. And I couldn't actually track down where they were coming from on that one. But I know I've heard those names before, but I had to see where they popped up from. So I'll have an update on that for you in a couple of weeks.
And we'll also have an email from Jay Shepard within 3 minutes of this thing going live.
We'll also get a Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker, highly anticipated.
Yeah, that's cool.
Obi-Wan and Clone Trooper Alpha. A Republic Commando and a Super Battle Droid. We've obviously seen those Republic Commando guys before. And then X-Wing Rogue Squadron, which doesn't really have a list of who will be in it, but I would have to assume Wedge Antilles.
Right.
Maybe the Darklighters.
Right.
That shows up in there. Maybe Jason or Jaina Solo, since they do show up in Rogue Squadron at some point. So it could be Luke. In a Rogue Squadron outfit.
It could be.
There's a lot of possibilities there, but obviously it'll be a tie-in with whatever comic book is included. So that's a look at what's eventually going to be coming out, and it's a great lineup of just a lot of new figures.
Well, and this isn't confirmed.
No, it's not confirmed, but I would be very surprised if we didn't see these wink, wink, nod, nod coming through in some way, shape, or form.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, we don't like to, we're not rumor mongers around here, but I mean, we do like to, whenever the news breaks, bring it to you. Well, we had mentioned on the Toy Fair wrap-up that I did with Dan Curto, we were talking about the Dejarik hollow chess table that Sideshow had put out that's in scale with the 1/6 scale figures. And, you know, I guess I was a little naive. I was thinking that this was just sort of a teaser for something yet to come, but apparently it's not. It's already gone on. They've already had pre-orders for it, and I believe it's sold out.
Yeah.
At least the exclusive version is.
Exclusive did very quickly.
There you go. I mean, no, this does not come on the heels of any announcement of any new figures in the line. So it just kind of shows that some of these licensees are pretty serious about more environments to place your figures in, and environment pieces. So it's kind of an odd play.
Well, we don't know the full story yet. They may be holding this back for something that they're going to announce at C4 or something like that. The truth of the matter is that anybody who's ordered that knows that they're not going to see this for several months down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, being a veteran of these pre-orders, you actually sometimes forget that you've ordered something, and then you get the email and you go, oh, it's shipping.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, this is going to be sometime out in the distance, so we don't know what else they may be developing in the background. But even if they don't, it's a fairly cool piece anyway.
It is. And I mean, I'm content. And I know a lot of collectors aren't, but I'm content to put my 12-inch figures in a custom case with some sliding doors that I had made. I'm perfectly content to do that. I like the way they look. And some people think it's nothing but a glorified spice rack that you got figures on. And they really are, you know, get into posing them and putting them to environments. So this is great for them. It's nothing that I really need. I didn't order it, to be honest with you. I know you did.
I did.
Why?
I looked at it and I thought, man, that's very cool. And I, unlike you, Mr. Negative, believe that it has something else to do with it. And when they come out with these C-3PO and Chewbacca, you're going to be going, man, I wish I would have ordered that. So there you go.
Well played. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And we got a little bit of expanded universe news, too. Matthew Stover, who is, of course, no stranger to this Star Wars expanded universe, has a new novel coming out, not due out for a while, not until February 2008, but it's pretty cool. Anybody who enjoys the original trilogy characters is going to be happy to hear about this. The book is going to be called Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mendor, and it's the tale of the Alliance's efforts to stop Lord Shadowspawn and his black-clad legions of shadow stormtroopers shortly after the destruction of the second Death Star. So you got all, of course, the classic heroes, Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, Lando, 3PO, R2, and the pilots of Rogue Squadron. So, I mean, Matt Stover, who wrote the novelization for Revenge of the Sith, as well as the other novels, Traitor and Shatterpoint, is jumping back into the EU. And this is cool. This is an era that I particularly love. I love post-Jedi era, fresh post-Jedi era. Of course, you know, the Zahn trilogy is, I would consider part of that, where the galaxy is still not really settled into what it becomes later. So this is a great book. I love the photograph that they have going along with the story that you can find at StarWars.com. We'll have the link on our show notes. So just to give you a little background, according to the article here, the Battle of Mendor is one of the great conflicts of the Galactic Civil War that is yet to be documented in novel, but Matthew Stover is taking on the challenge.
And it's nice to see. I personally am very happy to always see that they are very, it seems they're very loyal to their authors, and you see the same names
right
continue to pop up over and over again, and you get to know their styles and you get to know how they do their books,
right,
and you can really latch on to how they're going to present.
And you find your favorites
things
and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, and plus, you know, Tim Zahn can't write them all.
Right.
You know,
right,
in a perfect world, he might. And he's not even listening. I don't even know if he's listening, folks. So that's not me, you know, kissing his rear. But
it was a good attempt, though. Way to go.
And file this under just kind of interesting. You can check it out over at StarWars.com. And it's on the free side, not on the hyperspace side. A great vintage commercial from 1977 to help celebrate the 30th anniversary. Now, Pete, this was really testing you because you got a couple years on me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Burger Chef?
I, in fact, do not remember Burger Chef. I'm not sure how popular it was in the Midwest. judging from these commercials, I'm assuming not very.
Well, they got a great vintage commercial here. It's 3PO and R2 going into a Burger Chef and asking for the coveted Star Wars poster that was a premium item for the fast food chain. That I believe predates the glasses that were available at Burger King.
Yes.
And I'd be interested to know. I have a set, almost a complete set, of all the glasses from the three original films. I'd be interested to know if the Burger Chef campaign and the Burger King campaign were running simultaneously, or if the Burger King came with maybe one of the re-releases, you know, the early re-releases of Star Wars to the theatrical run. If you know, send us an email, podcast@theforce.net.
I'm going to bet somebody does.
I'm guessing somebody does. But you got to check this commercial out because it is just totally vintage 70s.
It is very 70s.
But, you know, it's funny because it's not, when I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, so it's your typical, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know.
Fast food type
right,
commercial.
Right, well, or, you know, here comes R2 and 3PO. You know that you see them a lot.
Yeah.
Do you remember the anti-smoking ads?
Yes.
R2, put that cigarette away. they were really bizarre.
It was. But you know what never occurred to me was, why is that robot smoking anyway? I never thought about that because I was just like, see, R2 doesn't do it. Never smoking.
I like that, you know, he's such a rebel that he's the one that picks up the cigarette.
Right. Well, you know,
he doesn't even have a hole for it. 3PO at least could.
He just holds it in that stick hand.
Now I wish they would put those.
Yeah, those
on if you're listening,
any of the PSAs,
Bonnie Burton over there at and Pete Vilmer, we want to see the anti-smoking PSAs. But I remember that was such a treat as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because those aired well into the mid 80s.
Yeah.
even after Jedi was already gone. And I just it was always a treat to see those. Like, oh, it's R2 and 3PO. You know? It's new. Is it part of the EU? I mean, like, is that considered canon?
What the EU
was. Yeah, well, I didn't know then. But I wonder if it's canon.
R2 smoking is canon? I don't think so.
It's infinities. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's going to pretty much do it for the Star Wars news portion, but we do have more news. It's not Star Wars, but it's the next best thing. More rumors about the Indiana Jones 4. The film set to be released in the summer of 2008. Now, this is all rumor. In fact, one of these has been rumored for a long time. But I think it'd be a great idea. Because I love the fact that you got, of course, Harrison Ford being both Han Solo and Indiana Jones. And who better to play the illegitimate love child between Karen Allen's character from the first Indiana Jones film, Raiders, and Indiana Jones himself, but Queen Amidala
of the Naboo
playing...
What did you say?
Yeah. No need to report that until we have something to report.
Your all-time favorite line.
But anyway, this... apparently is coming from a fairly reliable source. The film that is set to begin filming in June of 2007, they're saying Natalie Portman is going to be playing Indiana Jones' daughter. So I would imagine, I mean, of course, we know that George is very loyal to the actors in his films, and I can see this happen. Now, that's not the only rumor, Pete.
Well, and Shay LaBeouf, I believe it's Shay, maybe it's Shy LaBeouf anyway, is rumored to also be in there as a comic sidekick, possibly. Well,
Husa? Ayusa?
Maybe not that comic. You may know him from Transformers. He will be in upcoming with that, which is what ties him in with Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And he's also worked with Spielberg on Disturbia. And there's also a couple other movies that you may know him from. But anyway, he may be joining the cast as well. Karen Allen, even is rumored to be involved. So pick that up on. Yeah, see, you don't even read that because it's not on that page, but I found it somewhere else.
Bok, bok, what?
So there's a rumor that she may rejoin the cast as well, along with Harrison and Sean Connery and Shay and Natalie, and it'll just be an all-star extravaganza.
It's going to be a love fest. Oh, I'm so excited. It's given me something to look forward to past 2007. Now, if we can just get Hasbro to do a kick-ass action figure line, we'll be good. Maybe just a re-release of the of the originals.
Oh, they weren't that bad.
We can't find the molds. There you go. There's your Indiana Jones 4 update. We don't have a countdown for that one.
No.
That'll be after Celebration.
Yeah, we'll start after when it gets a little closer. I don't want to have to count that high.
There you go. Indiana Jones 4. Will it be Queen Amidala as the young daughter? Who knows? More news as soon as we get it. You'll be the second to know. Okay. Well, that's pretty much going to be it. Coming up, we've got, as promised, Charlie Ross, the one-man Star Wars trilogy, in the cantina with us this week. We'll have some clips, some highlights of that interview, and he was great. He was just
a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, and Pete and I are going to be catching his show here in the Northeast Ohio area. He's going to be actually at E.J. Thomas in Akron, which is right over by the University of Akron, for those of you local folks that are listening. And that'll be this weekend as this podcast goes live. Now, he's also going to be heading out. Now, listen up, our good friend Ed from Australia. He's going to be heading to Australia in March. This tour of the one-man Star Wars trilogy will be running March 22nd through the 25th as part of the Cracker Comedy Film Festival. And then they'll be going to, that's just Sydney. Okay, so then he's going to be going to Adelaide March 27th through the 31st as part of the Adelaide Fringe Festival. And he'll be going to Melbourne April 2nd through 7th as part of the International Comedy Festival. So you can, we'll have the link to Charlie's official site on our show notes so you can keep up with him. But we'll just let him tell you. So coming up, Charlie in the Cantina.
Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Yeah, we're joined in the Cantina with the star of the one-man Star Wars trilogy. You may have seen him at Celebration 3, Charlie Ross. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you so much. Good to be in the Cantina.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and doubly excited the fact that we're on your tour itinerary here in the Midwest.
Who would have thought it'd be coming to Akron? I mean, it seems so remote in some ways. You know, it's sort of Tatooine-ish, but at the same time, maybe to you guys, it's your Coruscant, so I get to sort of descend upon your Coruscant and my Tatooine.
Well, I got to ask you, I mean, let's kind of start back at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where were you when you first discovered this galaxy far, far away?
You mean the show or Star Wars itself?
Star Wars itself, yeah.
You know, I grew up in British Columbia, Canada, and lived half of my life for the first few years in Waikiki, sort of back and forth. So Hawaii and then British Columbia.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, it really was like living on Tatooine in some ways. And then it was actually warm at other times of the year. When Star Wars kind of came to the place where I grew up in Canada, the films played for way, way over a year, and it was sold out for like a bloody year too. It was so terrible. Every time I tried to go see it, I couldn't. So the first time I ever saw it was in Waikiki, and yet, when I lived in this sort of remote place that I did in Canada, I eventually got Star Wars taped off of television and was able to devour it daily. And truly, I would do it daily because I had no television reception in the place I'd been living. Just had a couple, fantastic movies on tape. And, Star Wars was basically my most prized possession aside from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It was sometimes the only thing I was able to watch.
Well, and judging by the career that it's launched for you, that it certainly paid off, I would say.
I think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes people say that, watching something excessively could be considered a waste of time. But I think I've taken any potential negativity that might have been surrounding the amount of time I spent watching it, and I think I've sort of turned it into a positive thing. I think the biggest discovery I've ever had in my life was that I am not alone. I was able to discover this before, the internet came along, thank goodness, because, with the tools of the internet, you can obviously talk to people that are, perhaps like-minded or, are super fans.
Right.
For myself, I kind of just started finding people sort of through my little show. People that came from all different walks of life and in all different cities that were, I think as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, about things Star Wars, all things Star Wars.
Well, how did you go, Charlie, if I might, how did you go from being a fan, like we all are, to actually having a career, sort of being a one-person embodiment of this trilogy of films?
I mean, we've all played Star Wars at some point, I'm sure, and maybe we still do. It's like, I'm not doing anything in particular that's special, and I don't think I'm even doing anything that you can't even find in the film. Not because it's about the film, but C-3PO, for instance, does. He sort of tells the story up to this point when he's talking to the Ewoks, trying to bring the Ewoks on side with the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, in a sense, what I do. And it's, in a sense, what we did as kids. So, how I was able to take, that sort of even kid-like exuberance, that the way we play Star Wars, we reenact it, you know, even when we're just chatting with each other. Take it, make it a larger script, which is, of course, based upon the film, and then, you know, suddenly make it my life career. I have no idea. I wish I knew.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, it's once you start down that path, it forever will dominate your destiny. It really is. And, yeah, it's so odd that, and it's odd to me, and yet kind of a miraculous thing that something that came from such a place of love and admiration, you know, for the films has, in a sense, continued positive things happening in my life. It's like the love that I had for the film, I'm not being punished for. If anything, I'm being rewarded by being able to share it with other people. I think that's the thing, though, we can find, though, with things like Star Wars conventions and things like that. Like, if you're a costumer or you're a collector or you know, you write comics or, you know, extended fiction, you can still be part of the legacy that is Star Wars, that we've, you know, obviously all found some sort of something similar in our experiences, and yet can share our individual experiences and, you know, I don't know, even our observations on all things Star Wars. You know, yeah. you don't really get many other genres, many other sort of franchises in the world that will allow you to actively be a fan like Star Wars.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I could be wrong, yeah. But I think that's pretty fair to say.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
No way. I will give you all my Star Wars guys if it is. Wait, except Boba Fett. No matter how sure I am, I never risk the Fett man.
The galaxy is listening.
And it looks like it's about time for some Star Wars tales and your listener mail.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And in addition to everyone pledging allegiance to the Forcecast, we got some great Star Wars tales. We're going to start off with Philip in Illinois. Take it away, Philip.
This is Philip in Illinois again. If you're not sick of hearing from me at this point, here's kind of a story of Star Wars weakness, and I'm sure that you guys have had many of those. As you know, it's been snowing a lot recently, and I've been over in Michigan playing double bass with Southwest Michigan Symphony, and in between rehearsal and the concert, you know, out getting the bite, and I go, oh, I'm going to go to Best Buy, and I walk in and I see, oh, there's a sale on those limited edition DVDs of the original trilogy with the, you know, the original versions. I'm like, you know, I swore I was never going to buy these. I can't do this. Yes, I'm going to do it. And so I get into weakness, even though I've already bought the darn box set before. And so there's my story of Star Wars weakness. So, you know, I'm George Lucas's little kid now, I guess. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys. Your show's always awesome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Philip. And you know what happens to the best of us?
I think we all have at least
like you at the Jarek Hollow table.
Yeah, or one or thousands of Star Wars weakness. You know, oh, I don't have that droid. I need to get it.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to make you regret the Jarek Hollow table only because I secretly regret not
right,
buying
exactly,
it. So I want to make you feel bad about
right,
yourself.
Right.
You know, misery loves company.
Yes, well, I'm right there with you, pal.
All right. Well, we got also Jared from Florida. Take it away, Jared.
Hey, guys. This is Jared from Clearwater. It's got a little Star Wars story for you about the little good luck trinkets that you're talking about. When I was married, I actually had a Lobot action figure in my pocket. And many people laugh and say, why Lobot? I say, why not Lobot? When you think about it, Lobot really saved the day. If not for Lobot, Lando, Chewie, and Leia would still be sitting in a jail cell in Cloud City, and Luke would still be hanging from a weather vane. Palpatine and Vader would still rule the galaxy, and all would be lost. So if somebody's got to stand up with you at a wedding, why not Lobot? By the way, it was a vintage Lobot action figure, which actually, I didn't choose him for any of those awesome, noble reasons. He was the only action figure I could find in my old bedroom as I got dressed for my wedding. And I wanted some Star Wars with me, and Lobot fit the bill because he was the only action figure around. But, you know, anyway, Lobot has a special place in my heart, and that's it. You guys have a great podcast. Keep it up. You may remember me as the one calling you many moons ago, calling you out on the pronunciation of executor. As you had pronounced it wrong, I'm happy to say that your pronunciation errors are decreasing greatly. So, anyway, great job, guys. Keep it up. Thanks a lot.
Well, and thank you for keeping us honest, Jared.
Well, and I think he said that our errors have decreased greatly, but I think this show alone, we've had several. Way to set us up for failure.
Yeah, right.
No, thanks, Jared.
Oh, golly.
Really appreciate that.
You know,
that.
This has been kind of bothering me because everyone's talking about their Star Wars good luck charms and their trinkets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, I didn't think that I had one. And I don't know if I've talked about it. I hope I haven't talked about this yet. Because, you know how I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know how my brain works or doesn't. But I have this memory. And I don't know, sometimes you can't remember if it's a dream or a real memory, but I have this memory. I was probably in maybe second or third grade. And do you remember that last day of freedom of summer vacation?
Yes.
And you would, like, you just wanted to, you know, soak it all in, as you know, but you had to go to bed early that night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was taken, I remember my grandmother, she took me to this, comic book shop downtown. You know, you've been down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had, and this would go back to, like, this is after Return of the Jedi, when Star Wars was kind of starting to not be quite so cool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the Topps sticker book for Return of the Jedi. And he had not the whole set of stickers, but a good portion of them. And I'll never forget, I had my very first wallet, you know, it was a Chicago Bears. Why it was a Chicago Bears, I don't live in Chicago, I'm not a sports fan, but somehow I ended up with a Chicago Bears wallet. It had the Velcro,
yeah,
and had the photo album. And of course, you know, when you're in third grade, what photos do you have, really?
Right. You just have class pictures of your friends.
But I loaded that sucker up with the Star Wars stickers from the sticker album. And it actually, it cheered me up on my first day of school. You know, I would kind of sit there and I'd pull that out and I'd kind of have it under my desk and flip through and look at that is geek, baby. I mean, that.
Yes. And I could see the evil villain teacher sitting there with a ruler going, Mr. Swake, what do you have there? Actually, I have to share that my first wallet was gray and it looked like Zubaz pants. It had all these, you know, scribbles on it. And I was like, this is the cruelest wallet ever. And it was just awful. It was terrible.
Why do you need a wallet when you're that age?
Like, I'm seven. I'm like,
right.
I have a dollar.
And I was a packer. I didn't buy my lunch. So I had no reason to.
Right.
Anyway, that's called a tangent, listeners.
That's right. Us off topic. It's unusual.
But anyway, thank you very much for the Star Wars tale. Now, wait, actually, Pete's got one that came in on an email. Pete, you want to take this?
Sure. And this one kind of goes along with the our request for a female perspective. And it comes from Isla from Louisville, Kentucky. And she says, you repeatedly asked for your female listeners to write in and share their perspective on Star Wars. So I will attempt to share my Star Wars tales with you. I don't remember who I was or why I chose to go see Star Wars when I was just 10 back in 1977. But I do remember the impact the opening scene made on me. I was blown away and a Star Wars fan from that moment on. I think I went to see
Who's
A New
calling
Hope.
Calling you? I have to know.
It's Chrissy.
Your girlfriend's calling
yes,
you?
That's my girlfriend.
In the middle of the podcast?
Well, it is late for us to be recording this evening.
If you heard now, what is that? Back in Black?
Yes.
Folks, if you heard, and I'm sure our good buddy Mirko will say, you know, I was listening to your crappy podcast that has, like, terrible sound. All of a sudden, I'm hearing AC/DC in the background. So if you heard that, that was Pete's cell phone.
That was me. I apologize.
And I'm sorry to interrupt your Star Wars tale, but...
And no matter... another tangent, but no matter how many times I tell everyone I know on this particular night I am not available. Don't call me. Don't email me. Don't, you know, send messenger pigeons. I'm going to be doing something, and I will not answer my phone. I won't respond to you. And then, you know, inevitably my family will call and go, well, you didn't call me back last night. Criminy. Anyway, back to Star
Isla's
Wars tale.
Email yes, from this, yes, the female perspective.
Yes. So I think I went to see A New Hope back when it was just Star Wars about 8 times that year, convincing not only my mother and father to take me, but every babysitter I had. We even went to see it in my 5th grade class as a field trip. For some reason, though, perhaps because I was a girl, my parents never bought me the action figures or other Star Wars toys. My only Star Wars collectibles from that time were the original paperbacks, the trading cards, and an R2-D2 pewter necklace.
They didn't even buy her the dolls?
The
12-inch?
Yeah.
Barbies?
Guess,
style?
Well,
dolls?
You know, just regular dolls, I guess. I don't know. But she at least had the R2-D2 pewter necklace.
Well,
So
now, does Dustin Roberts.
Of course he does. Now, as the other movies came out, I was older and made more requests for Star Wars items. One of my favorite Christmas gifts was a set of Ralph McQuarrie prints from Empire, many of which hung in my room, and I still own the complete set in great condition, no pinholes even.
Wow.
And when Return of the Jedi came out, I even took the young girl I babysat to see it and the re-releases of the others.
Oh, it all comes full circle.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a few action figures, Lego sets, Transformers, accessories, and games. For a while, I had the Cantina music as my ringtone. Not Back in Black. I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan, and when I met my boyfriend Chuck online, yeah, okay, girl geeks do exist, we bonded over the movies right away. The first time we met in person, his first words were to me were, "I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you." One of our early dates was going to see the Inside Star Wars Where Science Meets Imagination exhibit at COSI in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, we were there.
And we already have our plans made for Celebration 4, my first celebration, his third. Time will tell, but I think we have a lifetime of sharing Star Wars fandom ahead of us. It's hard to say why I love Star Wars so much and why it spoke to me so strongly when I was young. I like the adventure, the strong Princess Leia character, and the handsome heroes. But I love the way it made me dream about seeing other worlds and alien creatures, and all the creativity it inspired in me. As an adult, I appreciate it even more for reasons than I did as a child after reading Joseph Campbell and others and seeing how it continues to expand its mythology. I don't think Star Wars will ever lose its power over me. So there you go. A fangirl.
I love that. I love that. I mean, that is really cool to get in. And there, that sentence that she talks about, you know, it's hard to say why I love Star Wars so much, like the adventure, the strong princess character, and the handsome heroes. That's just perfect. That's what we were looking for. So,
sure.
Isla, thank you for that email. That was very, very cool. And can you imagine your class going to on a field trip to see Star Wars?
We just went to Pizza Hut and Fisher Foods. And the only thing cool about that was they had this conveyor belt that they threw the boxes on. You know, I thought
right,
that was,
folks,
like the coolest thing in the world. Fisher Foods is a local grocery store.
It's a grocery store. And
but as the stock boys, you know, would slice open the cardboard boxes, they just toss them over onto this conveyor belt, and then it would just disappear. And I thought, that'd be awesome to ride.
Oh.
And that was the only thing I remember from the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
This has been quite the tangent show.
This has. We apologize. But if you had any idea of the week the two of us have had, you wouldn't doubt it. It's
yes.
A miracle that you're getting a show, period. but at any rate, we'll try to hold it together. Now, this next email, or rather, it's a voicemail that was sent down as a wave file, which is pretty cool. That is another way that you can send us a voicemail if you can't get through on the Skype line. You can always just record yourself and send it down. This is James from Australia, and he is responding to Mr. Mirko. Now, as you know, Mr. Mirko was the, let's say he was kind of the not very happy
agitator.
Right. Yes, he doesn't really think that our show is any good. The sound quality is terrible. He hears a terrible hum throughout it. There's an awful echo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, we shouldn't respond to him. You know, he's a dear listener, and we appreciate all of our listeners, even the crazy ones. So here responding is James from Australia.
Hey, Jason and Pete. This is James, your fan from Australia. I think your show is really good. I love it. I listen to it every week and all the microcasts as well. And I'm just about the criticism you copped the other day from Mirko. And I'd just like to say, as in my opinion, would be that... What a cry. What a carry-on. For the best show there is, he's sooking about that. Anyway, take it easy, guys. Love your show.
Well, and thank you, James. And thank you for that nice words of defense from down under. I like that. You big baby.
Take that.
Yeah, right. You're a baby. Oh. All right. And our final listener mail comes from Mike in California. And Mike has a question. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, Micah.
Micah, I believe, yes.
Which happens to be your middle name.
Yes. A little known fact about the Forcecast.
Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow that for you in case you were hiding that.
Now I can no longer use that as my secret identity.
All right. All right. My middle name is Scott. Why are you laughing?
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
That's a normal name. It's not like Micah. Anyway, sorry. Here's Micah from California.
Hey, Pete and Jason. This is Micah from Greenville, California. The Salad Bowl, Salinas area. Now, I was just curious. I'm going to Celebration 4 hours. Just curious. I'm working on a costume, and this is like my first Celebration ever convention period, but I was wondering what day would probably be the best day to probably wear the costume or whatever. All right, if you could let me know on the Forcecast if you got time, because I listen every single day and updates every day. So, all right, thanks, and may the Force be with you. Bye.
All right, well, all right, Mike, we're certainly not experts on this, but I tell you what I would do. I'd wait and find out when the costume contest is going to be, because I know there will be one. There's one I believe there's been one at every Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be the day that you'd want to wear it. Of course, there's some strategery. You might want to wear it, the day before, kind of get some buzz. If your costume is really cool. You remember the Grievous?
Yeah, the Grievous was great.
Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, did you see the Grievous? Did you see the Grievous? Did you see the Grievous? And I didn't even see it until, because I didn't go to the costume contest, I didn't even see it until the wrap-up, the photos on theforce.net. So, I don't know. I mean,
any day that you're going to be there, there's going to be tons and tons and tons of people that are going to be dressed up.
Right.
Most of the people, or a lot of the people that go dress up, and that's the only
thing
that they have,
that
they dress up every day. So, you know, if you got a good costume and you're excited about it, wear it. It'll be
great.
Everybody will love it. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. So, I mean, I don't think that there's one day over the other, certainly the day that they're doing the costume contest would probably be my pick if you were just going to pick one day.
Well, that's the one that's an essential part of it,
right?
Because it's the only way you're going to get in it.
If you have some advice for Mike, you can send us an email, podcast@theforce.net. And tell him if you have some experience. Now, we do have a lot of members of the 501st that listen to the show. Maybe they'd be able to give Mike some advice. But those guys, they're decked out all the time. I mean, they sleep in those costumes. So anyway, thanks, Mike. And thanks to everybody who emailed us or sent us a voicemail. We appreciate it. And keep listening to the bottom of the show, and we'll let you know how you can contact us here at the Forcecast. You know, normally I hate the sound of this music because that means the Forcecast is over. But this week, I need some sleep. I got to tell you.
I have glazed over.
Man, stick a fork in me. I am done. Thank you for bearing with us on this, the most schizo show I think we've done.
Tangent driven.
Yes, it is. We'll be back next week with a whole slate of news. Also, we want to thank Charlie Ross for being here in our cantina, and we'll have the full interview available with Charlie later on next week. So make sure you keep watching the feed, keep watching the news posts at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. Also, I want to thank, of course, our announcer, Jimmy Mack. Jimmy, couldn't do it without you, buddy. And if you'd like to contact us,
well, you can do so at podcast at theforce.net if you're an email fan. If you're on Skype, which you should be by now, you can Skype us at username ForceCast or the old-fashioned dial-up phone. You can use 330-871-4TFN and always keep an eye on the official forums over at RebelScum.com. You never know what might show up. It could be a contest. It could be, who knows, it could be some great information. So keep checking that out, and we're in there a lot, so make sure you're telling us how you feel.
In our... good friend Jay Shepard has been kind enough to sort of keep a running log, I guess you'd say, of all the episodes of the ForceCast, including all the microcasts, the guests, the EU characters that have been covered. So it's a great resource, and we want to thank Jay for doing that. That's going above and beyond, which that should be his middle name. Above and beyond Shepard. There will be an EU microcast this week, or next week, I should say, and Jay will have the final part, I believe, in his EU primer. This will be covering the latest era, the Legacy era. So look forward to that next week. Also, speaking of the EU, Timothy Zahn, you know how to get the autographed copies of his latest book, Allegiance. Call us up, 330-8714-TFN, or Skype us at ForceCast. Pledge allegiance to us, and you might be a winner.
And, of course, if you've got time in between listening to the show, pledging your allegiance, checking out all of the extra stuff that we've got going on, please take a second to dig us at digdigg.com and write us some reviews at iTunes. We always appreciate seeing those up there. And it's just good to get the word out about the show, because the more listeners are, the better we can make this show for you.
Absolutely. And we want to thank those that have heeded the call and have posted some recent reviews over at iTunes. They're very kind, and in all sincerity, we appreciate it. We're humbled by the compliments that you throw at us, and some of the insults too. You know, we take the good and the bad and the ugly here at the Star Wars ForceCast. That's going to be it for us, for the ForceCast and all of us at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. I am Jason,
and I am Pete,
and remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.